The Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to this week's Torah Tidbit. This tidbit is going to be taken from the Torah portion called Bamidbar, which is the Hebrew phrase that means in the wilderness. And this begins the fourth book of the Torah that you and I typically call Numbers, a name that comes from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, the Septuagint. And it's called Numbers because it is a book that primarily describes the numbering of the legions of Israel. And thus the portion begins in Numbers chapter 1 by saying, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of meeting, on the first day of the second month," which, by the way, that would be the month Iyar, "on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, 'Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names. Every male is to be numbered individually from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies.'" And so then we see this numbering or the census of the people beginning. And so this book overall deals primarily with that and with the laws and the history of the Mishkan or the tabernacle during the years that it was in the wilderness. Yet more than just being a chronicle of these events, it also serves to interpret these events. For instance, it becomes very clear that the Mishkan and later on the temple, that those structures were to serve as a permanent substitute for the incredible experience that occurred at Mount Sinai. In other words, the sanctuary served the same purpose as the mountain did when God came down on top of the mountain, except the sanctuary was mobile. And with the sanctuary in the midst of the camp of Israel, the Sinai experience would remain with them, because just as they camped around the mountain, they would also camp around the sanctuary. But I want you to notice what God told them in anticipation of His appearance on the top of Mount Sinai that morning of the third day, as it's related to us in Exodus 19. "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live.'" And so why does it tell us this? Well, there was to be a safeguard placed around the mountain when God came down on top of the mountain. But why? Because when God's presence descended upon the mountain in fire, Mount Sinai would instantly be deemed as holy, and no one who was contaminated in any way could touch what was holy. But that safeguard, by the way, was not necessarily for God's benefit, but for the benefit of those who camped at the base of the mountain. So this brings us to our main point. In our Torah portion, Bamidbar, it contains instructions as to how the tribes were to encamp around the tabernacle, but also commandments to the Levites about how they, specifically the Levites, were to safeguard the sanctuary. Now, interestingly, when you look at the book of Numbers, the Levites were not counted among the rest of the tribes in this particular census. And here's why. Because the Levites did not go to war. The Levites, or the tribe of Levi, had proven their loyalty to God in the aftermath of the golden calf incident, if you'll recall. And so because of that, they were elevated to the status of being God's own legion. Their distinction was demonstrated in this particular manner. They would be counted separately and differently from the rest of the tribes of Israel. Their camp would surround the tabernacle and the courtyard, and the rest of the tribes of Israel would camp around theirs. And finally, and this is going to be our main point, The tribe of Levi would be assigned to guard the sanctuary and the courtyard, according to Numbers 1, verse 52. The children of Israel shall pitch their tents, everyone by his own camp, everyone by his own standard, according to their armies. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, that there may be no wrath on the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. And so these Levites were to be responsible for keeping a charge. In Hebrew, that word is shamar, and it literally means to safeguard, to protect. They were to safeguard the tabernacle as if they were a bodyguard around the king's palace. Now, this was not just for his protection, but it was to prevent the non-Levite from coming in contact with things that were holy. Because if they polluted them, that would risk their own death. And so let's be very clear about this. God doesn't need protecting, but His holiness and those things that are holy must be guarded to prevent death to others. And this is something that we can see going all the way back to the beginning when Adam was told to tend and to keep the garden. The word that is most often translated as keep is that same word, shamar, to guard, to literally safeguard. And by the way, the word tend literally means to work. And thus Adam, who I believe functioned in the role of a priest in a garden that I believe served as a sanctuary, was told to do exactly what the sons of Aaron would be told to do centuries later. They would be told to work in God's house, tend, and to guard it, or to keep it against that which would defile it. Now, when Adam eventually failed in this, we see that God placed cherubim, or you might say cherubim, on the east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. Later, cherubim were placed upon the kaporet, that is the mercy seat of the Aron, or Ark of the Covenant. And these cherubim were embroidered upon the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. All of this symbolizing that God's holiness must be safeguarded. So then, what does all of this have to do with you and me? Well, the responsibility to work in God's house and to guard those things that are holy has fallen to you and to me. Or, if you prefer, we'll put it this way. We are the laborers who have been sent into the field to work, that field being the world, and we are charged with the responsibility to guard that which has been entrusted to us. I want you to consider what happens when God's people are not diligent to guard His field or His house. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, in Matthew chapter 13, Yeshua told us this, "But while men slept, his enemy, his foe, his adversary, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared." So you all know this parable, the wheat is sown in the field, then the tares are sown. But take notice of the fact that his field was to be sown exclusively with good seed, the wheat, and it's only polluted by the tares, which, by the way, is a deadly weed. How did it happen? Because those charged with the responsibility to safeguard that field went to sleep. They went to sleep on guard duty, and the result was and is catastrophic. I mean, is it merely a coincidence that when Yeshua went a stone's throw away from Peter, James, and John when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane? Those men, by the way, were far deeper into the garden than the rest of the disciples. But nonetheless, he told them to watch, which is another word for being on guard. He told them to watch and pray. I don't think it is a coincidence. And as they slept, guess who came into the garden? That was Judas, the one who Satan had entered into. So then, what's the point in all this? You and I are called to be priests, according to Peter, and so we must not only work in the field, but we have to be on guard duty. we have to be diligent to protect what we are working on and what we're working for. We have to guard against those things and those entities that would come in and pollute the field that's been given into our care. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot coexist with the world, because that would be equivalent to sleeping while the enemy is sowing tares in the midst of the wheat. So then, I will leave you with something that Paul said long ago, and that is, our commission requires that we embrace this particular reality. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch, or if you'll allow me to put it this way, be on guard. Let us watch and be sober. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, we can't afford to fall asleep when we have been placed on guard duty. The whole camp will be at risk if we drift off to sleep. So that's it for this week's Torah Tidbit. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.